This week on Art on the Air, our entire show focuses on the Bronzeville Exhibit and Artist Loft Space in Chicago, Gallery Guichard, with its owners and artists, Andre and Francis Guichard, discussing their unique gallery and their artistic life together. Our spotlight is on the Indiana Arts Commission's 2022-23 grant application process for Region 1 with South Shore Arts' Kelly Freeman.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself art and show the world your heart.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight. She's been with us before and is going to talk to us about the IAC grant season coming up. It's Kelly Freeman. She's the executive assistant at South Shore Arts, but she also is our coordinator for all the Region 1 that involves Lake, Porter, and LaPorte County. Kelly, welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thanks for having me today. How are you both?
Well, we're doing great. Well, it's that time of year again, and we're coming up on it for 2022. For the Indiana Arts Commission, different types of grants. So why don't you tell us a little about what's happening, what's changed, if there's any COVID impact on things, and just tell us all about what's going on with that.
Sure. What I'd like to do is just give you kind of a basic overview. We are in the year FY 2022, but we're going into the FY 2023 funding process for grants. So today I want to talk about the FY23 funding opportunities. But before I begin that, I just want to touch upon the importance of advocating for the arts, if I might. To say that arts organizations are important public assets to our communities and the state is definitely an understatement. You know, they bind us together, they preserve our history, they reflect who we are, and the arts, they inspire our future. Not only that, but they catalyze our community, economic development, and our quality of life, all of which contribute to the overall resiliency and sustainability of our state. So that being said, let me dive into some funding opportunities available to both nonprofit arts organizations as well as non-arts organizations that are providing arts programming in Lake, Porter, and LaPorte counties. So first, I'm going to start off with the Arts Organization Support, or AOS grants. And AOS grants, what they do is provide annual operating support for ongoing artistic and administrative functions of eligible arts organizations during the grant period, which will begin July 1st, 2022, and it runs through June 30th, 2023. Now, the IAC, which is the Indiana Arts Commission, has a complete list of eligibility requirements for AOS applicants on their website, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to highlight a few of them. So in order to become a qualified applicant, the organization must have the primary purpose. The primary purpose must be arts. So, for example, producing, promoting, presenting, or a teaching organization. And this is typically demonstrated by significant evidence that the organization is viewed as an arts organization by its community, that the arts must be its core purpose, mission, and the focus of the organization. And the majority of public programs must be arts programs and occur within a regular scheduled frequency throughout, and in parentheses, a non-pandemic year, of course. So that's what I have right now for arts organizational support. And I'm going to move on to the arts project support grants. So APS grants, they provide funding for Indiana 501c3 nonprofit organizations and public entities for a specific arts project or arts activity. And I'm going to give you some examples of that. They would include eligible projects such as a one-time art event, for example, like a pop-up art exhibit, a single performance, maybe like a, you know, quartet, something like that, an exhibition, an educational workshop, or a series of related arts activities such as classes, training sessions that are open to the public, whether they're free or for a fee. Now, for arts project support applicants, they may request up to $5,000 to support this arts project, with the grant program's objective being to provide the general public access to quality arts activities with special attention to the underserved communities and support for local Indiana artists who are also a vital part of Indiana's economy and community life. So let me just get right back down here to dates and deadlines, because this is the important stuff for you. The IEC is planning to post the FY23 Arts Organization and Arts Project Support Grant Guidelines and Eligibility Requirements on their website by December 16th. Applications for FY23 AOS and APS grants will open on Tuesday, January 4th. Now, this is very important. A letter of intent for all new arts organization support applicants is due by Wednesday, January 19th. This is anyone that has not received funding in the past for the IAC. Finally, the FY23 grant application deadline for both AOS and APS applicants will be due on Wednesday, March 9th at 4:30 Eastern Time. So, beginning January 4th, all interested applicants are welcome to reach out to me directly via email, and that's at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at South Shore Arts online.org, that's arts with an S, or you can simply call me at 219-836-1839, extension 100. Applicants may also visit the Indiana Art Commission's website at www.in.gov/arts, or South Shore Arts website at southshoreartsonline.org. And this will give you all the additional information on both grant programs.
You know, we only have a little over a minute left. Are you also looking for facilitators and people to be a grant review panel? And how do they do that in our minute that we have left?
I am. Thanks so much for bringing that up, Larry. I am looking for panelists to panel all of the grants for both APS and AOS. There is a little bit of time involved, but it's really, really rewarding. And I'm looking also for facilitators to facilitate each panel. We're one of the larger regions in the state, so I'm looking for quite a few. Anyone interested, again, just use my contact. Give me a call at 219-836-1839, extension 100.
Okay, Kelly. And anything left in the last 30 seconds here about the project? Just tell us if someone's interested in the project grant and they have never done that before, they can get in touch with you and talk through the process.
I can walk them through the complete process, get them all the information they need. Even if they're not sure if they have some kind of project in mind that they want to, you know, pitch to me, let's talk it out. I'll help you in any way I can.
Okay, that's Kelly Freeman, Executive Assistant and Region 1 Coordinator for the IAC Grants and South Shore Arts. Thank you for being on the Air Spotlight.
Thanks for
having
me.
Thank you for all the information.
Thanks, Esther.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Our next guests for Art on the Air, they are located in Bronzeville. I have Artist Loss Gallery Gishar, featuring a rotating collection of modern contemporary works from numerous global artists, commands a whole bunch of respect, much more so than even someone on Michigan Avenue. The owners of the gallery, along with others, are going to be with us today, and they have a great collection of African-American art in the Art District. Please welcome to Art on the Air, Andre Gishar and Francis Gishar. Welcome to Art on the Air.
How are
Aloha.
You?
It's so
Thank
good to
you
see
for
you.
For having us.
We appreciate it. Well, we like to start with you, Andre. First of all, tell us about your background, how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about yourself.
Thank you. Well, from Chicago, born on the South Side, and I grew up in a house where my dad painted and sculpted my entire life. So living with art was something I understood before I really knew I understood it. And I think the realization of not really understanding it was when I left home for college and wanting to still stay connected to growing up in a house of creation, painting and sculpting. But at that time, I didn't have a model of how to make a living from art. So I actually chose economics because that came naturally. And it would be a big part of the success of my career as an artist and partnering with Francis Guichard, my partner, to continue to grow the gallery. But after graduating from college, I actually was simply trying to put art on my walls in my new home. And as a young 21-year-old, I had aspirations and I had run out of the donated pieces my dad would give me. And it didn't nearly start to scratch the surface of the area I needed to cover. So I actually started creating art for my own passion and need of wanting to live with art. And shortly thereafter, some of my friends would come over and they started buying it off of my walls. And it made me realize maybe I do have something here. And I challenged myself and said, if ever I sold more artwork than my corporate day job, I would really give this a serious look at becoming a full-time professional artist. And believe it or not, it happened in 8 short, long years of finding myself as an artist, finding my fingerprint. And that was the beginning of a studio career where I would organize exhibits for my contemporaries. And then that led to a curation position at a gallery in River West, Desjois Gallery. And that lasted for about a year. Then I was hired as curator of the South Side, the South Shore Cultural Center Gallery at the South Shore Cultural Center, which was then the South Shore Country Club. And that really launched the connection with the South Side art community that lasted and built up over 6 years. And that was when it had gotten so large that a municipal gallery, city-run gallery at the South Shore Cultural Center, wasn't able to handle the demands of more exhibits that the public wanted. So that was when I started writing down my idea of a gallery, met Francis, and the rest is history. But it's been what an amazing ride. We've been able to travel the world to find artists because our niche is artists of the African diaspora. And our mission is to create platforms for artists of color who are often underrepresented to have a platform. And it's been a great ride. And I always like to call it a 30-year overnight success.
Well, Andre, I would like to know about, you know, Andre as a boy growing up in this household with sculpture. Now, did your father include you and were you able to work with him? Did he teach you as he was doing? And what was his, what type of work did he do more specifically? And did you have the support in your grade school and your middle school and your high school to further your art interest?
That is really great, great questions. And I'll start with the last question. Middle school, grade school, and high school were really more about friends who shared a passion of art. So it was really at that stage comparing comic book drawings, different drawings that we would do. And then that advanced in high school to drafting, finding a love for drafting and other classmates who just fell in love with it. And I realized that that was the one class that I would literally start and it would feel like it was over in 2 minutes because I was having so much fun. But not really getting instruction as much as just watching my dad, who was a fan of Escher, and his sculptures were just amazing testaments to his anatomy and his ability to capture pretty much anything. And he was a self-taught artist. And it showed me that, you know, the power of your mind, if you're really passionate about something, you could do it. And his art was amazing. So it was watching him experimenting on my own. I remember getting an art set at an early age, maybe like 11, and using that. But it was really being in that space that really gave me the belief and the will that I could see things that I wanted to create. So part of my own journey as an artist was really understanding that the power of the mind and finding mediums to fill in how I wanted to create these pictures or expressions. And mixed media, abstract, large canvases with metal, sometimes ground brake dust that I'll create a coating or finish of metal and oxidize mixed with pigments. And I like to say the kitchen sink and everything else on it is fair game.
Well, you know, and it's really, and that's how you are. You're so expansive. And I don't think that there probably isn't a single medium that you could not use or incorporate in an incredibly beautiful way. And so I don't know if this is too personal a question, but so your father was talented. What about, did you grow up with your grandmother? Did she also, your father's mom and family? So, because usually this is like when you're so imbued with this talent, it usually is generational sometimes.
Wow, you're very perceptive. So on my dad's side, it was actually my grandfather. He was a famous jazz musician in New Orleans in the early 30s, played live for the radio, and was recruited by the famous St. Louis band, Eddie Randall and the Blue Devils, which would later be the band Miles Davis would start in. So I found out that history when I was 21, just looking at, I want to do this full time. And I was reading a book, Black Beauty, White Heat, which is a pictorial history of jazz from the 20s to the 50s. And I found my grandfather. So because my grandfather passed a year before I was born, there were a lot of details that my dad left out, like your grandfather was really famous. And so when I ran upon this, it was a critical point of my journey because I had graduated from college with this great corporate job and I was doing extremely well. So all of my friends did not want me to become an artist because as I communicated, hey, I'm selling a lot and I'm almost at that point where I'm selling more than my day job. They were my biggest block of,
wow,
got a great job, don't change. What are you doing? Are you serious? And I was struggling with, I have this creative part to your point of my family. And it was really understanding who my grandfather was that really gave me the drive to want to do it because of that generational creativity. And it spawned a series, my jazz series, which is one of my longest running series, which actually gives me an opportunity to travel on the road with my grandfather. And I feel like I'm at those sets with him as he traveled around the country. So it's very exciting.
And this is the first time hearing this story. This is so beautiful. Cause I always wondered because, you know, we have mutual friends and they have one of your saxophone images, wow, you know? And so I always wondered what the connection was to jazz. That's so beautiful.
Thank you. I've always wanted to be a musician, but I find that I'm a better musician on canvas.
Very good. Well, Frances, we would like to put you in there real quick and talk about your personal story, your journey, and how you got from where you were to where you are now. And then you can even expand about how the two of you got together, too.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Well, my actual professional journey started in 2004. However, what preceded in my life actually helped me to get to there. When I was little, my mom was very creative and she allowed me to be very creative as well. She was a seamstress and, you know, designed clothes that we wore on a regular basis. And so the remnants of her clippings were my art pieces. They became my dollhouse. They became the window shades, the rugs. They became the clothes on the dolls. And so I was very creative in a different way. And that kind of spurred me to really to love art as a young person. And in addition to, I think art and various other disciplines like music and dance all go together as well, because I also danced as a child. And my brother's father was a famous jazz musician. His name is John Young here in Chicago. And so we listened to a lot of his music. My entire family, except for me, learned how to play the piano.
How come you got left out?
I was too busy. I just couldn't stand still to learn like everybody else. So
dancing.
We grew up with a piano in the household. We grew up with a lady who came from out of the household to teach piano to my siblings. And I would wake up in the morning to, you know, classical music and just, you know, just it was just a house filled with music, art, creativity all the time. In addition to, as I grew a little older, my mom traveled. So she was traveling to various places and picking up, you know, prints, mostly of art that she put around the house. And she would, you know, create things of her own where she would even remodel the piano. So instead of it being the brown piano that it, you know, would stain, she created a different color stain on the piano. I mean, she was just always constantly being creative about how she could, you know, enhance her environment and our space to make it even more beautiful than it was. And she's the same birthday as Andre. Andre is December 11th. My mom is December 3rd. And it was all about, you know, creativity and bling bling and embellishment, you know. So Andre's kind of that same personality. I think that's why we get along so well. And, you know, just having that energy within the house was amazing. And then we also had another gallery in our community. Very few African Americans had an art gallery in their community that you could just walk to and go in and see art by African American people. So I would walk to the store and then stop in the art gallery, take a look at our original pieces of art by various artists from the community, Charles Bibbs, Charles White. We also saw Annie Lee, all of them original works of art. And, you know, sometimes the artists were there. Of course, as a child, you just don't really realize that, oh, wow, this is the artist, because I couldn't afford to buy anything at the time. I was just admiring it and just spending time there. And so, you know, as I grew, I just continued to love art. And my mom moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, and we, you know, got a chance to go and visit homes and people's artwork there. My mom collected, as I mentioned, prints and also limited editions. So she never really had any original artwork, but she collected Yadros. And so I got into collecting Yadros and dolls were my thing. And then when I met Andre in 2003, I was at a Black Tie Fair, and it was an opportunity for me to just get out and meet new people. Couldn't get anyone to go with me. So I went by myself, and I did have a friend who was actually hosting and putting on the event for Jackie Taylor with Black Ensemble Theater. And so they were putting on a play, and I was there to see the play. And was, you know, as I mentioned, it was Black Tie. I was at the DuSable Museum. And I ran into all this amazing art by various artists here in Chicago that I had never met before. And I thought, wow, this artwork is great. How can I get a piece? And so I'm like, you know, I just need to save up some money because it was quite expensive at the time. I'm thinking like, I got kids that got to go to college soon. So I need to save my money. However, I met Andre, and he was a wonderful person, just introduced me to the artwork and told me all about his story. And the work was amazing, just to see the texture and the three dimension of the people in his space, on his canvas, and the colors that he used. It's just like, wow, this is awesome. I know exactly where that'll go. So I ended up moving, you know, around and visiting other spaces and seeing different things. But before I left, Andre asked me to join his mailing list. Of course, I didn't have a purse, so because you're at a Black Tie Affair, I didn't have any business cards. So I got his information, called him, and he invited me because he was going to receive the Artist of the Year Award with the Black United Fund. And I went, he asked me, would I join in his moment? And I told him, yes, I would love to. I said, and I called him back and said, can I bring a friend? So he thought I was trying to bring a friend, but actually I was just trying to bring a friend. And one other thing I should say is that Andre almost didn't attend that affair, and I almost didn't attend that affair. So we would have been two ships passing in the night if we had both, you know, thought to our first minds, because I was going by myself and I thought, no, maybe I shouldn't go, you know, I'm going to be by myself. And then Andre thought, no, I shouldn't go because
something weird was going on. I woke up that morning and had convinced myself that this wasn't going to be a productive show. And I started trying to convince the other artists, questioning, asking them questions. And then I thought, what am I doing? I already committed to this. Of course we have to go. But it was really like something had come over me that was trying to not let me go to this event, even though I was already scheduled and booked and planned it all out. It was weird.
And my kids told me, Mom, go, just go. So I went. And so when he invited me to receive the Artist of the Year award, he thought I was bringing a date. And that was not the case. I was just trying to see if I could bring a friend with me. Of course, the friend didn't want to go. So I went by myself and I met his family, his mom, his aunts, his friends, everybody. And he was such a really cool person, not just as an artist and talented and smart, but he was also a very nice, generous and kind and thoughtful person. And from that point on, we've been together ever since. We spend like almost every day together, 24/7. And we, of course, have, you know, our ideas and we spark each other's ideas and we, you know, build together and create together. And it's just an amazing time. So in 2005, well, let me just say, go back 2004, I actually created my first piece that was good enough to be able to put out there to the public. Because prior to that, I was practicing in his studio, doing what I used to do with my mom's stuff, you know, just picking up the remnants and creating my own thing. And Andre would be like, nah. And then I'll go back to the drawing board. He was like, maybe we should add something there. I'm like, okay. And then go back to the drawing board. Finally, he was like, oh, wow, that piece is beautiful. You should put that in the auction. And so he was like, here, I'm going to put a wash over it for you. So we both signed it and put it out. And it went on. It was on fire for the auction. People were bidding on it. And it sold for $800. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I sold a piece for $800. That is so awesome. And people were fighting over it. So ever since then, I've been creating work and I used to travel. We used to travel and go to Florida and I would put my work in the shows in Florida. I would sell out. And so eventually Andre was like, put your work in the gallery. And I have been putting my work in the gallery ever since probably 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. And it's been selling everything. I can't keep it on the walls. But we opened the gallery in 2005. We got married in April of 2005 and we opened the gallery in August of 2005. So now for 16 years, going on 17 years, we've been working as business partners and creating together. Sometimes we'll create in the same space or sometimes we'll create in different spaces. We all, you know, bounce off of each other and we create the synergy amongst our own, you know, engagement of art and beauty within our own spaces. And people love it. So we're just very happy. And I'm very, very blessed to be able to create and bring out my creativity with my husband here and be able to share this with the world.
And I would.
Well, I do believe that happiness and love grows. And you two are so, I mean, it's a joy to be around you. And so I think that that just radiates. So, of course, it's going to be in your work. It's going to be in all those relationships. So that first Francis or Andre, maybe both of you. So that first meeting at this black tie at the DuSable. So do you see each other? So when you come in and you look at the room, Francis, do you notice Andre? Andre, do you notice Francis? And how then, I don't know, set it up a little bit. This is so sweet.
So I walk into the room and what I notice is that amazing art. I wasn't really looking for a date or anyone because I had gotten to a point where at this point I was just trying to meet people, meet friends. And so I didn't notice anybody else in the room at all. I was just, you know, happy to be there, happy to meet people. But Andre at that point still was a wonderful person. I just never thought he was trying to hit on me or anything. And I wasn't trying to hit on him. I was just truly enjoying the artwork. It was really an amazing opportunity. And I think, you know, when he invited me to the Artist of the Year Award, that's when I, you know, felt like, wow, this is really a nice guy. He asked me to come to the Artist of the Year Award. And he said, would you like to share in my moment? And, you know, and he says things like, you have to plant trees. If you want to plant a really strong, deeply rooted tree, you plant one tree, not many trees. Many trees, they'll grow stunted. If you plant one tree, it will root deeply and it will grow big and strong. Well, he was right. Our love has planted deeply and grown big and strong. So,
well, you do that with your clients as well, because when I've been to the gallery, no matter how busy you are, I always feel like you have the time to tell me about the artwork. And so even if there is all of this, I think everybody feels that way around both of you, that you really take the time with everybody to help bring us deeper into the artwork that's in the gallery. So I've always appreciated that.
Thank you. And, you know, part of that is for us, one of the biggest blessings of the gallery and the journey is the people and how art has really shown us that, you know, this is one medium where everyone comes together and they feel comfortable. And they also feel comfortable about talking about issues that otherwise they may not talk about through art. And I think that has been really great, because I'd say 50% or more of our clients are, we look at as our friends too, you know, because that connection is real. So thank you.
Right. And I just want to add to one more thing that, you know, by trade, I am not an artist. I didn't go to school classically for art, but I did take classes in high school that I had a great art teacher that propelled us to think outside the box and to think differently. So some of the things, techniques I've learned too, I use there. Andre also was, again, my muse and my teacher, and instructed me on the use of color and making sure things, you know, flow together, and just the depth of field and all of those things, as well as, you know, just helping me to understand the types of mediums I'm working with and how they work together. But I also have a degree in dietetics, nutrition, and food science, and a master's in public health. So, you know, that science background too also helps, because you're always mixing things in the science lab. And so I kind of feel like sometimes when I'm working in my laboratory. So it's already
completely
really cool. And then I'm also a manager too. So also in business, we also have our business experience. As Andre said, he was in economics. I'm also, you know, have the degree and have managed over 100 people at one given time, and had staff to work with underneath me to be able to manage a program for the big program for the city of Chicago.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guests Andre and Frances Guichard on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. So your work is exhibited outside of your own gallery. So tell us a little about where else your work has been seen. Now, you briefly mentioned Frances in Florida, but tell us about some of the places you've been and some of your travels that you know, influence your art.
Thank you. For a 10-year period, we actually hosted a international art contest. And in doing that, it also allowed us as curators and artists to be on one of the largest platforms at Art Basel for a 5-year period, where we would produce a curator show with Frances, myself, and Danny Simmons at Scope Miami Beach, as well as create separate curated exhibits for our top 15 artists out of 6,000 every year. So those experiences on those high-level platforms actually helped our gallery grow, because it exposed us to a lot of high net worth clients. During that program, we were able to sell to Jay-Z, George Lucas, and meet a lot of people you otherwise might not meet. But just the experience of being on that platform every year, seeing 300 galleries, international galleries, and having to come every year with artwork that would compete on that level was a growing and learning experience. In addition, we do have and have continued an amazing bridge program, because we focus on multicultural artists, so every artist is welcome, but we do have a niche of art of the African diaspora. And part of that is because when we first opened the gallery, there was an amazing collector, Daniel T. Parker, who had just released a book, African Art, the Diaspora and Beyond. And as one of his artists, I was in his collection. But it was just then, 16, 17 years ago, really putting our arms around what the African diaspora really meant. So we have used our platform to help explain that to people, because myself as a 21-year-old, I remember going to Jamaica and trying to understand how I was in Jamaica and many people looked like people I grew up with. And it was just the understanding of how the full slave trade actually one family could be separated onto seven continents. A brother might go to Brazil, another brother might go to Jamaica, another one would go to Cuba, Haiti, and that's one family. So understanding that we have been able, through our exchange program, bring artists from the continent and anywhere we spread out, so people kind of understand the cultural significance of the African diaspora. And that has been very significant. So our travels have included South Africa, Senegal, Ethiopia, South Africa,
Cuba,
and those have been exchanges, Egypt,
Seychelles,
and Seychelles, with 50 or more pieces of art, and in many occasions, working with the governments to bring the artists to those exhibits as well. So that has been very enriching to learn so much more about culture and many other cultures.
Do the artists reach out to you, or are you doing extensive research, which I'm sure you're doing anyway, but how does the exchange happen generally?
Both.
Yeah. Combination. Sometimes people will know of our work, or it could be a connection through a consul. So the Consul General of South Africa was part of that South African exchange, which led to three different exhibitions. And in each case, it's making the connection and then getting on the ground and doing our research. So in South Africa, we actually traveled and went to several fairs and researched artists and interviewed artists in their homes, which sometimes might be a shanty. And it would be amazing that no matter what conditions a person was in, if they were an artist, they were still an artist. And no running water, I'm still an artist. And it just would blow your mind on why, as an artist, you have to continue your calling, because oftentimes people continue with less fortunate circumstance.
I was just going to say that, you know, having the ability to travel and meet new artists, not only it's an ecosystem, basically, you know, it helps a lot of different people in a lot of different ways, because it reaches out the tentacles to the artist, it helps the artist's family. So the artist, even though they're selling through the gallery, they still have the ability to sell their work in other places as well around the country. We do have exclusivity just for our area, but they could still go out and then sell their work to other locations, other places, other spots within their own countries. And so, but it is giving that artist the opportunity to help their family. It helps the framer, it helps the shipper, it helps so many other people, the people who work here at the gallery. So, you know, people should think beyond just the beauty. When you look at the artwork, it's beautiful, and that's what you think. You think of beauty in your home, you think of wellness in your home, but there's also an ecosystem that it helps build as well when people purchase artwork. And that's kind of what I wanted to say around that. Around my Great Migration series, that is another way of, you know, connecting to the diaspora. And also just human nature and humanity. When we were in South Africa, we traveled through the mountainous area, which used to be called the Transkei during apartheid. There was an area in the mountains that still was owned by the African people, which, you know, of course, all of it should have been, but they still had that area. And it was, you know, going through the mountains, literally, where you could just look down the cliff and you're like 13,000 feet in the air. So it's like, oh my God. But when you got to a place where it plateaued out and people were moving around and you saw the rendezvous and the sun was setting and you could just see the glow of the orange and the, you know, the yellows, and the ground in itself was arid. So they had cacti, and just the beauty of the space and the people just was like awe, like inspiring. And I started to think, how can I bring that back? And I wish I could bottle it. I'm like, I'm an artist, I can paint that. So I started painting landscapes with people. And then I started to embellish my skies. And then I started adding the suns and the clouds. So it just kept me evolving into a more perfect landscape where it moved beyond just the people, but to the whole experience. And it's all about our ancestors, not just mine, but our ancestors as human people. We all are humans, and we all have ancestors that date back to the beginning of whenever humanity started. And they come back to tell us to be more socially, economically, and environmentally responsible, because we need to leave something to the next generation. And it's true, with climate change and all the violence that you're hearing about, the things that are going on in this world, really our ancestors are probably rolling over in their graves, thinking like, come on, people, get it together. So I'm hoping that, you know, when people see my artwork on the walls, they're able to think positive and have that positive message to be able to talk to their children about and pass it on.
Well, there's something about that beautiful, that line that you, the migration line, almost like shoulder to shoulder together, whether you're like, sometimes it's a straight line, sometimes there's little groupings, but there's always this togetherness. And it's like a very subtle power, you know, because they're in the distance, you see them in the distance, but you feel their movement. It's a beautiful thing you've created with your migration series.
Thank you. When did you start?
So did you do sketches initially? And when did you start adding the texture to it? I mean, how did you first see it?
So when I first went to South Africa, that was probably 2011, 2010, somewhere around there. Andre and I, we were like, oh, we're on the soil, first time in Africa. So we took the sand and, you know, we were like, wow. And then we went to Senegal. And then I used to see an artist do sand art, not exactly the same way I do it at all. And he would use glue, then he put sand down in certain places, and then he'd shake it off, and it would be different layers, different colors, shake it off. And then he'd have a painting like, oh my God, that's so cool. So, you know, I decided I wanted to use sand as my medium. And I decided to, you know, find sand that I could use and apply it to my painting, my acrylic paint, and create the texture. And so I started playing around with the palette knives and, you know, moving and smoothing it around. And sometimes it was trial and error till it became like, wow, people were like, oh, that is so cool.
I know, it's like suede. Some of it has this like feel or look of suede. It's really beautiful.
Yes. And I love that. I love texture. I love the color. And so that's what I try to do. I use that palette knife to kind of move people around. And I want you to feel like they're moving forward and there's movement in it. So that's, you know, kind of what I've been, you know, doing. And I have to say, it was also in a beautiful gallery called The Nest. And, you know, I was so very proud to have my work there. So awesome.
It was like so beautiful. It was such a beautiful exhibit, Frances. It was just glorious.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guests Andre and Frances Guichard on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Something I'd like, we all have been asking our guests, is how COVID has impacted you, both the gallery and you personally. And some people have found a new creative bent and other times they have not. So just tell us how the COVID pandemic has influenced you, negative, positive.
I would say the COVID experience for me personally and us as a gallery was extremely positive. And it was really a story of lemons to lemonade, because the day that COVID hit and they said all businesses were closed, we really were flabbergasted, because we had reached a point where as many as 4,500 people were coming to our art crawls, and the whole concept of the more numbers, the higher chance that 10% or 15% might purchase. So the model was working and we were really happy with our growth and development. So that day was kind of a day where we all kind of put our heads together and asked, what is it that the big boys are doing now? And by the big boys, I thought about our experiences in Art Basel in Miami. So I started going back to all of those platforms and we started looking at what were they doing during COVID to stay connected. And ironically, what we were finding is that there had not been any progress to make the connection more realistic, meaning they were still relying on slideshow technology. And for those of you who've been through a slideshow presentation, even if it's art, it still has a static, boring type of feel. So I'm sorry, I hate to say it. So when I saw that, I thought, boy, we're really in trouble as an art community, the whole art world. And we started thinking about how could we stay connected. So we looked at different technologies that were out there outside of the slideshow. And we were looking at drones. And then there was another technology used in the real estate world, which we adapted and started creating the, and we created our virtual exhibition catalog. And this was really a mind, in the moment we didn't understand it, but it would change our business model from decoration to wellness. And what I mean by that is prior to COVID, someone got a new house, hey, you know, go to Gallery Guichard, we know them, the work is great. So it was a system that worked. But during COVID, what we found were our collector friends who had amassed these amazing collections were not depressed. And they were up and all about it. And we actually have a story on one of our collector fingerprint interviews with Dan Parker that he was saying, my friends were calling me and they were depressed. And I was happy. And I realized it was my art collection. So people started realizing after being in these homes for these long quarantine periods, those had neglected their walls were really struggling. So we saw an influx of people who were tuning in every month to our virtual exhibition catalog presentations, where we do a 2-minute interview about what the show was about. And you could drop into the gallery, walk around, touch the artwork, get the information about the pieces, and people would do a screenshot, then come in and see it in person, or we would just deliver it to their home. And for the last year and a half, we did not see a stop and actually saw more influx in purchasing than pre-COVID. So it was an amazing experience for us.
And due to that, the Metropolitan Museum of Art contacted us, sent a letter saying they would like us to share our virtual exhibition catalogs with them to have stored in their research library. They're the holders of the largest collection of modern and contemporary catalogs in the world for galleries. So that's an amazing feat for us, because now our artists will live in perpetuity and people will be able to study our artists from around the world. And, you know, it really does help each artist to, you know, take their, you know, game to another level.
And it actually solved some problems that we knew were in existence and growing for us, which was as the number of people grew that were coming to our exhibits, it meant we were able to spend less time with each person who came. So whether it's the artist who was featured or Francis and I trying to talk to each customer when they come in, there would only be a limited amount of time that we could engage with as many customers as we could, which would probably be 2 or 3 minutes tops. Where this virtual exhibit catalog gave us a captive audience to listen to the artists talk about their inspiration during our live stream, which we do save, and you can go back and see all of our artist talks. And it did something for us that I like to use the analogy of the record and live entertainment. Because it used to be, for the record, if you missed that set, if you weren't in that dark room where they were playing jazz music or whatever, rock and roll, you would miss that experience of that sound. When the record was created, you didn't have to be there. When we created the virtual exhibit catalog, you no longer had to be at the opening within that 30-day period regionally in that city. We can now share our opening, and the gallery looks just like day one, and we can share that around the country. So many of our regional exhibits that we go to Florida or DC, where those would be captive audience, we could now share with everyone simultaneously. And that has also been a really amazing breakthrough for us.
Right. Yeah. It's and in addition to people were able to come to the gallery on a personal level, whereas opposed to before, you'd be open all the time. And people would come through, but because we were closed, people couldn't actually come to the gallery for events and exhibitions. So you wanted to come see the piece, or you wanted to pick up a piece, you could drive by, pick up a piece, you could still see the artwork, social distance, and then people can then still, you know, kind of get a feel of like a personal experience within the space. So it kind of added that personal experience as well.
So many congratulations. You also won that $75,000 financial grant, right, from Capacier.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
Yeah,
that was
congratulations. Exciting. That's so exciting.
National Urban League.
Yes.
Right, with the help of the Chicago Urban League. That was awesome. Andre and I, we, you know, didn't even think that that was even possible, because, you know, when they told us we made it to that round, we were like, what? And so, I mean, out of all the people in the entire country, we were number, there was three, four of us.
Right. Well, the four final contest, three finalists.
Three finalists.
Atlanta, Chicago, and DC. And our pitch won. But I think part of it is because of the passion around the arts, and the pitch is including an expansion that will include culinary. And I think that's so important for our vision, is that we've seen what the Bronzeville Artist Loft with 16 artists live workspaces above the gallery, and how that ecosystem has really worked and sustained us to be able to work together. We believe if we can add more art to this umbrella, so culinary, and we've been partnering with an amazing chef, Michael Bonner from Let Us Entertain You, and merging the art experience and the culinary experience. So now we've been having amazing dinners with conversations. So I think all of this has moved us to a place where we'll be able to connect in a more personal way, whether it's at an opening or with a great dinner and a glass of wine and great conversation. And like we just had for Thanksgiving, a demonstration for couples and love, because
the art of love.
The art of love is so important in our lives. So we're trying to constantly think about ways to push the envelope, but yet doing it a way that we celebrate art, culture, and our passion for the arts.
Right. Provide value to people, because people are looking for an experience, something that is fun and engaging, that brings them together, because we've been so separated for an entire year. And these are events that happen that actually can bring small groups of people together safely and still be able to have an amazing time around art.
It's really important, because if you don't challenge yourselves, you become static. And then your own artwork also doesn't have that jolt of aliveness. So it's important for you as well as for your clients to keep imagining fabulous events.
How would you access that? Is that something you access internet-wise? How do you find this virtual gallery experience?
Oh, yep. So great question.
Go to our website at www.galleryguichard.com. On our homepage, there is information there that you can click on a link, and then it'll take you to some of the videos. And then if you go to the top, you can look at our virtual exhibition catalogs. Click on that. We have 17
different amazing 17. Content, 17 different virtual.
It is amazing content.
Catalogs, including four collector fingerprint interviews, which is really a different take, where we're really trying to understand the mind of the collector, but more importantly, to educate other collectors that you don't have to be rich to be a collector. You can start wherever you're at. You can pay over time. You really need to know that art and culture is really an essential part of living, and not just for a certain few.
Right. And then our virtual exhibition catalogs, also the past ones live there as well. So you can see them all. And, you know, there's also information about our event space rentals, because we are an event space, so people can rent them for the holidays and have their parties here, birthday parties, weddings, mitzvahs, everything.
And it's happen easy
right here.
As 1, 2, 3, you and your family can art binge and literally go to as many as 18 art shows in one night if you have the stamina from your bedroom.
We've got about 2 minutes left. What are you guys looking forward to in the upcoming year and 2022 or beyond?
I would say the expansion of new things to come and some of the new partnerships that we're working with. Like I said, the partnership with Michael Bonner and Let Us Entertain You, and more space and platforms to have exhibits and dinners and great festivals and community events. So that's, I'm very interested in the future.
In our new programming, we have new solo shows that will be coming up with Stephen Olalakin. He's an amazing 31-year-old artist that has a fingerprint that's so diverse. And you'll see it if you go to the website. Look up Stephen Olalakin Shio, Abiola Akintola, Pearly Taylor. And then Andre and myself also will have some, as well as other artists as well.
Emery Franklin from Tennessee. So we're focusing on, because with the expansion, we'll have more space for more virtual exhibition catalogs and an opportunity to focus in so people can get to know our artists even closer.
And because this is an art district, there are other galleries, and we'll be working in collaboration with those galleries to put on amazing events events. And then we're also going to do a Palm Sunday, which will be music, art, and entertainment along with food. So it's going to be a great 2022. And we're looking forward to everyone joining us.
And I would just say to
it sounds so dynamic.
Listeners, to take a chance and explore a new neighborhood. And you'd be amazed about how rich and diverse Chicago really is. It is truly a cultural quilt, with each neighborhood being a patch with so much to offer. So hopefully you'll join us in Brownsville.
History, culture, amazing things to do, food, art, and entertainment.
Well, before we let you go, where's your gallery located so our listeners can come visit you in Brownsville?
We are located at 436 East 47th Street, right here in Chicago's Brownsville neighborhood. And the cross streets are 47th and Vincennes. We're just east of King Drive. There's also the Red Line, the Green Line, and Lakeshore Drive, the number 3 King Drive bus, and the Dan Ryan. You can access us in all different ways.
Well, we'd like to thank you for coming on Art in the Air. That's Andre and Frances Guihard. Thank you so much for sharing your gallery, which is, you've told us the location, and we hope people will come visit you. Thank you for being on Art on the Air.
Oh, thank such you. A pleasure. So thank you.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP. Art in the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. Underwriters for Art in the Air, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary LeVan, Arts Patron. Art in the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. Information about Art in the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know. I'm Larry, Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther, Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.